I think I'm going to sing a song. What do you think? Fly me to the moon. No? Let's see, maybe...
sound as good as Frankie. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's a... I think I might fly down to Rio. No, that's not. Leaving on a... Never mind. The heck with it. For the record, QRM in amateur radio abbreviation parlance stands for static. Static is exactly where political discourse is in our country. We are above the static, although sometimes my language is a little bit below. So in light of the fact that I'm not flying to Rio... put your tray table in its original upright position and buckle your seatbelts. Lock and load, everybody. It's another edition of Political QRM.
Hello, folks. Thanks for tuning us on again today. Okay, and I can't even speak, and I just started the podcast. Hi, I'm Anne Marie, and there's my cohort Lou over there.
That's right. She's Anne Marie, and I'm not.
I know. Yeah, I don't think that we would ever be confused for one another. So, yeah, and there was so much going on. There is so much going on, but still.
Oh,
hey, Lou, you want to tell the people where you've been for a while, or do you want to just gloss over?
Oh, no, it's okay. I don't want to get
touch,
into...
just a touch. We've had to delay a bit.
Yes.
We've had to delay on our on this podcast because Lou decided to go and spend a few days at posh hotel, right?
Yeah. Posh hotel, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I want to shout this out only because I gave the URL to some of the people involved. They're going to hate me. But that's okay. They hated me by the time I left anyway.
Okay.
No, I had been dealing with quite a bit of pain, you know, for a couple of weeks. I mean, attacks that I used to get that last a few hours lasted 2 full weeks, including I had a visit by a very old friend called Goldie. And mm-hmm. I've mentioned her in the podcast before, mm-hmm. or in the essays anyway. Of course, my brother Al was here for the last podcast we did.
That's right.
That was on Sunday. And on Monday, I had arranged for some ultrasounds or stuff through my physician. And I just couldn't make it. I just reached my limit. I said, you know, I can't do this. So Debbie ran me down to St. Luke's Monroe. And we popped in there, and the next thing you know, I was there for like 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that since I don't have a gallbladder, I had a stone that had nowhere to go. And that was the source of sodium. Went in there and took out the stone, and boy, I feel great. You know, so that's what was wrong with me for a few days. And but blessings and kudos and everything else you care positively to heap on, and I mean heap, use a shovel, just mm-hmm. heap it on there,
mm-hmm.
Of wonderful attitude, wonderful team, wonderful science, and I mean everything from the housekeeping staff all the way up to the doctors and directors and stuff that stopped to see me. Absolute kudos on all of them at St. Luke's Monroe campus and I guess that's Bartonsville, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, I feel better. I do. So, good. You know, I said to Amory, I said, let's rock and roll, baby. Let's go.
I'll tell you, you gave me a few days of, you know, a little bit of worry there. I was like, what do you mean he's in the hospital? All of a sudden I'm getting texts from Debbie. You know, I took Lou to the hospital. What? I was like, oh, my God. Thank God she knows how to use the voice thing on the text thing, because I sure as heck didn't, because all of a sudden I'm getting these long texts, and I'm like, how does she do that? And then all of a sudden I realized it was the voice thing. She does it beautifully. Me, yeah. I can't even figure out what button to press, so there you go. But
well, I figured out what button to press, but due to the fact that that my language varies so much,
mm-hmm.
you know, back and forth between English and Italian and Latin and, you know, everything else, it gets confused. And the little woman that they stuffed inside there goes, what? What? What?
I don't blame her. That's okay. A lot of times I tell the little woman to shut up. Oh. So anyway, we do have a lot. Don't forget, Hurricane Irma hit Florida. And actually, before that, too, I mean, you know, it did a number on Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, and a whole bunch of other islands, which was horrible. But looks like a lot of Florida got a lot of damage, including... I have a friend that lives in Clearwater, and she actually said to me that they lucked out.
Yeah, all of my friends that I have down there lucked out. Mm-hmm. And honestly, for all the damage that some of those places got, it did not get the damage that the initial projections of it going straight up the middle,
right,
what could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, had it gone straight up the middle, and, you know, there wouldn't be a Florida.
Right.
You know, exactly. Or there wouldn't be a South Florida. The pictures of the Bahamas not having an ocean were really kind of amazing.
I know.
You know. And the thing that bothers me about the damage and destruction in the Caribbean, because you know how I love the Caribbean.
Yes.
Was in the British West Indies. Mm-hmm. Richard Branson decided he needed emergency assistance from the British government because it is possession or a
right,
realm,
right,
as they, you know. So ergo, his billion-dollar place on his own private island, which was certainly not destroyed, but it had some damage, and now he's applied for, you know, government rebuilding efforts. He's got billions of dollars in all kinds of offshore accounts, doesn't pay his taxes on everything the way many Brits who work for a living do, and he wants government assistance. Why is it that the people who need it the least are the ones who clamor for it the most?
I know. I guess it's because they feel they're entitled. They have
his compound
name.
Is worth more than the rest of the island.
I know.
You know, they spent it. They weathered the storm in his wine cellar.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Jeez.
And you know, so. It just drives you nuts when it's not just that his compound is worth more than the rest of the island. It's worth more than the rest of the two or three islands around it, you know. And there's people who live in shacks made out of pallets and sheet steel.
That's true.
And their homes just don't exist, let alone power, water, phone. I mean, nothing exists. The islands are flat. The only thing that, you know, evolution, by the way, has granted palm trees the ability to weather a Category 10 storm for some reason.
Well, there were a lot of palm trees down, I saw, in some areas, but...
yeah. And it's amazing. But you know what? Aside from the British West Indies, you know, of course, our Virgin Islands, the Navy's already there and things like that. You know, the Air Force has been dropping stuff on them and God bless our service people that are in these rescue efforts. Even Princess Cruises brought a couple of ships in,
mm-hmm,
after the storm, and they're bringing it because they have desalination plants on them.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, they have medical facilities in them.
Mm-hmm.
They had stores and stores and stores of food because they obviously weren't. I mean, they had people
stuck out in
the Atlantic, you know, but. Once all those people debarked, they sent these ships down there.
Yeah, well, you know,
one
of our carriers was down there also, and you know, carrier has,
yes,
I forget how many operating rooms and top of the line,
yep,
medical facilities. You know, on
top flight stuff. Stuff you'd find in Bethesda is on that aircraft carrier.
Yeah, or you know, any of the top hospitals in the country. That's what you'll find on there.
And of course they've got doctors and nurses to staff them. Obviously.
That's right. That's right.
You know.
So there's a lot of people that unfortunately have been hurt by it, and but FEMA under President Trump, the people under President Trump, they were there before the storm hit, which makes a big difference. They were, so when the storm hit, they were already making plans, and recovery is a little slow, but you know what? I honestly think they got a jump on everything because they were down there before.
Oh, I think they were. I think they were way ahead of the game.
Yes.
I think they were way ahead of the game on this. To his credit, you know, no matter what anybody says about you know Melania's heels, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, the woman who started that thing, you know, first of all, I don't know if anybody saw this woman. I'm not going to name her. From Vogue. This woman is...
Ugliest sin? How about we start with
no,
that
No, because,
down?
You know, yeah, start from there and go down.
Yeah.
I mean, this woman is and I hate to be judgmental, the fashionista that I am. I hate to be judgmental, but I know what looks good and what doesn't. This woman is hideous.
Yeah, she is. No, she is. I saw her, and I blinked. I actually
she's
blinked
like
a few
80
times.
Or something, you know.
Yeah.
And she's like 80 or something, which means that she full well remembers Jackie Kennedy Onassis.
That's right.
Who wore heels
That's
getting
right.
up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. I mean, it, you know.
Yeah, I know, but
you know, so,
this is a new day,
of,
Lou.
Yeah, well, regardless of all that, you know, QRM, actually, I think they had a great jump on it. I think they're doing a phenomenal job. And
yes.
And I mentioned our Navy that was down in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Mm-hmm. But in Florida, Louisiana, mm-hmm. and Texas, there's another Navy. The Cajun Navy.
Yes. Yes. The Cajun Navy. Yes.
And, you know, and their redneck counterparts. I don't know if anybody noticed on the news before the storms hit, lined up, ready to go, mm-hmm. north of the storm, were thousands of pickup trucks with trailers with boats on them,
mm-hmm.
from all over the country,
That's
from,
right.
as they say, across the fruited plain. They were from everywhere, ready to go, put their boats in the water, and go save some people. Oh, and animals, you know, dogs,
yes,
cats.
Yes.
Horses, you know, whatever they could fit, you know, goats, sheep, I don't know, birds. I saw one guy carrying a bird cage out from a flooded zone.
Yeah, I saw
zone.
That. Aww. Yeah, but you know what? There's a bad side to that. There were a lot of people who left their animals either tied to poles, or even in Florida they did it too. There was a picture of a dog in a cage.
I'm staying away from that. I'm staying away from that because my opinion on that is probably a little bit more extreme than
the
norm.
I think these people should be shot. Seriously, I do.
No, I think they should. I think they should be, you know, tied to a pole at low tide in the high tide zone, you know, the Bay of Fundy or something.
Or a lovely fire ant hole. How about that?
Yeah, sure. Dip them in honey and throw them on fire.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. It's disgusting.
My opinion. But Americans, you know, we talk about and not for a second to deprecate our first responders, who of course are absolutely positively heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Not to deprecate our military, who are absolutely positively heroes. You know, just getting up in the morning and putting the green clothes on makes them a hero.
Right.
You know, the real heroes don't wear capes; they wear dog tags.
Right.
Is one of the things I've seen in the past. You know, not to deprecate them, but I'm talking about your man on the street in the United States of America,
right?
Who stopped what he was doing, went in and told his boss, "I'm taking my boat down to Louisiana, Alabama, Texas, Georgia, Florida."
All right, that's true.
And rescue me some people.
Yeah.
And to have someone, please don't hold me to who it was. It was some official, some government official. There was one of these fellas from the Redneck Navy or Cajun Navy, and he had an airboat,
mm-hmm.
and which is great because you can go anywhere in an
That's
airboat.
True.
You can go places that no other boats can go. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And it had a Stars and Bars flag on it.
Mm-hmm.
And this person went on Twitter and went nuts. The photograph went viral. But it didn't go viral because that person went nuts. It went viral because everybody was pointing at this person going nuts, saying, "What a jadrool."
Yeah. Yeah.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
It turns out she was part of Hillary's staff during the campaign, this one girl who did it. So you know, it's just, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, people, see, the thing is with liberals is that they can't see past race. They can't see past ethnicity.
Because they're racist.
They are racist. And I don't think people are really, you know, considering that and considering it seriously.
I hearken back to Mandy Patinkin. You know, one of my favorite actors. He you know, of course, was on Criminal Minds. Of course, mm-hmm. he was in movies. And he's famous for his work with the Yiddish Theater on Second Avenue. Mandy Patinkin in The Princess Bride turned to the little character and said, "You keep using that word. I do not believe it means what you think it means."
Yes.
They keep yelling racist at everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And who is the most divisive, you know, dividing people by color, by creed, by nationality, by... Who is the most racist among them?
But they don't understand that's what racist is, because they want to divide us. And they don't understand it, and they don't get it. It's just like stupidity. I mean,
I wonder how many people who were liberal went from liberal or progressive to classic liberal, a.k.a. Kennedy liberal.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them were moved up a notch or two on the political scale, or to the right a notch or two, I guess, from the left wing, by watching Joe Sixpack in a boat, stars and bars or otherwise, helping 80-year-old ladies, little kids of every color, a parakeet cage, you know,
That's
all this
right.
stuff going on, and these are not... cops, first aid, fire, they're not soldier, sailor, airman, marine. These are Joe Sixpack, neighbor helping neighbor, American helping American. They're not standing there saying, "Oh, no, I'm sorry, I got to go to the next house."
And they hate that. They hate that.
And you know, I can't pick you up. You're an illegal. You're drowning. Get in the boat.
Yeah, but you see, they hate
that. And they hate that. They hate that. And the president was quick to and correct to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
He was right on it, you know, thanking these people. And so was the vice president, who, by the way, actually started helping clean up.
That's right. You know, but I have to bring this up. Speaking from a woman's point of view, and somebody who likes men and likes a real man, you see some of these guys, and they're picking up women and other men with, you know, little effort as possible, and you know that testosterone is up to high levels. And if you take that idea, you compare it to the testosterone levels of the man bun, skinny jean wearing men? No, I can't even say that. Man child that is prevalent throughout the United States right now, and that's another thing. They see that and they say, "Oh, you know," they shiver because they can never ever be that man. They can never ever be that man.
And you see that guy, you know, even a skinny guy, and I saw one image of a skinny guy waist deep in water carrying some 85-year-old woman
but
or 90-year-old woman.
Skinny guys, they still can have muscle. You know, they can still have muscle.
Yeah, and but you see these guys wearing these red flannel shirts, you know, red checked flannel shirts, and you realize they're not hipsters. They're men.
They're men.
They're not wearing it to look like a lumberjack. They're probably working in an oil field or timber or, you know, a warehouse.
Or, heck, they might be a farmer, you know?
They might be a farmer. You know, they might be a professional fisherman or what, a guide or something. They may be a lot of things, but they're not hipsters.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not sipping, you know, when this is all over, they're not going to sip lattes, you know, you know what I mean? They're just not. They're going to go up and they're going to get a cup of coffee. They're going to get a cup of coffee and they're going to go back out there and save some more people is
That's
what they're
right.
going to do.
Get a sandwich. you know?
Yep. And it's not going to be arugula and, you know, artisanal crafted something. No. No, they're going to go get a ham sandwich, you know, with mustard and or a hot dog, and they're going to go back out and do
a
what they got.
A nice pastrami sandwich. Oh, I can't tell. I've been craving pastrami lately, so. People can't leave well enough alone. And, of course, Hollywood decided to get their little claws into everything, because Hollywood, they always have to be the center of attention, no matter what crisis comes about. And, liberals, you never let a crisis go to waste. So obviously this is Hollywood's chance for an extra 15 minutes of fame. So they had a telethon the other
night.
Well,
one person did. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the telethon. You can get back to the telethon.
Okay,
in a second.
What?
But I heard a complaint about Lady Gaga.
I have lots of complaints about Lady Gaga.
I know. I'm not a fan.
Neither am I.
I know when she hit some of, because, you know, my big thing musically is American popular standards, you know, mm-hmm. WNEW, 1130 in New York, you know, kind of a thing. And when she does those, she does sing very nicely, as a matter of fact. And she is a bit of a lib progressive kind of a person.
A bit.
However, in her appearances and concerts and stuff like that, she says, no, I refuse to get political. I'm an entertainer. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So in her credit, that's one feather added to her cap for all the ones we take out for everything else. The fact that she refuses to use her bully pulpit, as an entertainer and a popular entertainer, and that's a feather in her cap. Now about that telethon.
Yeah. It started off with a bang. I mean, you know, Stevie Wonder sat there and in the beginning said, anyone who believes there's no such thing as global warming must be blind or unintelligent. It's like...
that from
Wonder,
a blind man.
Yeah, that from a blind man. I mean, you know, who is well protected because of the millions of dollars he has. All these people, whether it was Beyonce, Bieber. I mean, you know, these people, they fly all over the world in private jets. They have more than one home. I mean, you want to talk about, to use their term, their carbon footprint, for God's sake? I mean, you get all these people.
Well, Al Gore and Leonardo DiCaprio alone have added more carbon footprint than I ever will.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, my God. Oh, don't forget Barbara Streisand. I mean, God. I mean, she's another one, Nancy Pelosi. The Botox on her must be absolutely amazing. I mean, I bet you there are doctors out there that have not only sent kids to college, they've sent their grandkids to college. It's amazing. They got up there, and all they did was just, lecture to the rest of us as if there's somebody we should listen to. I mean, talk about believing your own press. We don't look up to you people. You know what you are, Hollywood? Let me compare you to the long, long time ago when kings had court jesters. When they wanted to be amused, if they were in a bad mood or something, they brought out the court jester. Oh, and if the court jester didn't exactly, please them. I mean, we're talking about probably mythical,
off with his head.
But even singers and stuff like that, people they brought in for their amusement, well, they were probably never invited back. But you know what? That's what you are. You're just there for our amusement. I do not care what your opinion is. As the famous Laura Ingraham says, shut up and sing. That's all I want to hear out of your mouth.
You realize that book's like 20 years old.
I know, and it's still relevant.
Yes. And I heard somebody, actually it was yesterday, but I caught it on tape today, mm-hmm. talking about, in particular, I believe the issue was a sports personality in question. The woman from ESPN.
Oh, what the heck? Jamil? What the heck?
Whatever. Yeah. Look.
Don't even get me
started. I just said, anyway, the issue was, you know, sports personalities and, you know, these broadcasters and how, if you've got, you know, this, if you've got this stage, if you've got this bully pulpit, if you've got this street cred, if you've got all this stuff, why not, you know, stand up and announce and stuff like that, things that you're passionate about. And I go back to before the quarterback who will not be named. Mm-hmm. I go back to before that. And you know something? Athletes, you know, and someone else said, you know, if you're an athlete, you're an entertainer. That's all there is to it.
That's
you
true.
Know, you know, but, you know, athletes have always used their bully pulpit for something they're passionate about. St. Jude's, Juvenile Diabetes Foundation,
but
camps for kids
that
with cancer.
People. It was something that everybody could
they
relate to.
They were always there. Throwing right. football camps for disabled kids, you know, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, they were always involved in these things that they were passionate about. It just wasn't politics.
No, it wasn't politics. It was the fact that
they were... And they got... Yeah, but they got recognition. You know, so you get recognition. They were talking about this Jameel woman saying, you know, to increase your brand, to increase your name recognition, to increase your brand... Promote you, your team, obviously, the NFL, the NBA, the, you know, MLB, whatever it was, you're doing this stuff and you are indeed promoting your brand without, I mean, nobody is promoting, you know, I don't believe that the San Francisco 49ers were promoted by, as a matter of fact, NFL's ratings are dropping like flies.
Oh, man. We're going to have to touch on that. We are going to have to.
ESPN's ratings are falling precipitously.
Oh, you kidding?
Let me tell you. Make a comparison for you.
Go ahead.
I'm going to make a comparison for you.
Okay.
Could you imagine? I don't watch this particular sport. All right?
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I don't really watch any sports. I listen to Yankee game once in a while on the radio.
Right.
I don't watch this sport. It annoys me. But could you imagine if a NASCAR driver came out and said this stuff? He'd be off the track before trials.
That's true. You mean in regards to somebody like Obama, right?
In regards to anybody.
No, probably.
If I don't know any of their names, it came out and said, well, you know, President Trump's fascist, he's racist, he's this, he's that, he's homophobe, transphobe, Islamophobe.
You're probably right on that. If they had attacked Trump even. Yeah, they realize it's a sport, and that you have a point there. You do. Well, you have to take a look at the NFL, because Roger Goodell is one of these big liberals, okay, and he hates the Patriots. I have to bring that in, and I also have to bring this in, and he suspended Brady last year for 4 games, and we still won the Super Bowl. So anyway, where was I on that? But the NFL, he's allowing this to happen. Goodell is allowing this to happen. He keeps calling it something about free speech. No, it's not. Now, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, man of integrity, and he has said anybody who does not stand will not play for my team.
There you go. Look, they don't
That's
understand. They're an employee.
But
if your boss says this is the rules.
Yeah, but the thing is, Lou, you take a look at these guys, and they're millionaires. They're multimillionaires. One of these guys just signed a contract for $30 million over 10 or 5 years. And it's like, what? And they're saying they're oppressed? And if they really have empathy and sympathy for their oppressed brothers, then why aren't you giving your money away to them? Why aren't you in the inner cities developing programs to help lift these poor kids? So
hey, you know
you
what? Now
are
that you
a
mention
fraud.
It, I didn't
Every
see,
single one
I didn't
of you
see
are
any,
frauds.
I didn't see any tractor trailers on their way down to Texas or Florida, you know, from Black Lives Matter.
No, you're not going to. No, but what I'm saying is the NFL is screwed up. ESPN, they're even in worse shape. ESPN, I got to tell you. I watched the first football game on Monday night with the Vikings against New Orleans. Second one was the Chargers against the Broncos. So they had I can't remember her name. It was a woman who actually called the game, and she was really good, I have to admit. But she had two things going wrong with her. One of them was the idiot on the other side that was on the field, and his name was, oh God, you know, my brain. I had my brain and I left it somewhere. He was this Hispanic guy who's going on and on and on about how wonderful it's supposed to be, and it was just like, I kind of went, and he's just like almost crying on the side of the on the side of the field, okay? And it's just like, what are you doing? What, I mean, he's just like going on and on. The other thing that was a real zero was Rex Ryan, who was supposed to do color commentary. He started off on this tangent about the NFL and how he loves and all that, and at one point his cohort's standing there and she's laughing and you can see she wants him to shut up, and he just goes on. So, you know, then she kind of pats him on the arm and everything, and she's laughing. And by that time, people at home are going, Rex, shut up. It was a disaster. It was an absolute disaster. So,
well, you're talking about stuff I have no idea, so I just got
to
go with what you're saying.
Rex Ryan used to be coach of the Jets, and then he got fired, and then he went to Buffalo Bills, and then he got fired. His brother used to be coach. I don't know if he still is. I don't know. I can't remember. I'll be honest with you. The NFL, everybody's jumping ship and going somewhere else. Teams are moving all over the country. And if you take your eye off of it for at least one day, so many things happen. So that's why that my knowledge right now is not as good about the NFL as it once was. Oof.
Well, so, I do know that their ratings are falling hysterically.
Yes, and that's part of it. You know, take a look at the people in the fans, in the stands, folks. I hate to say this, but like 80% of them, or maybe more, are probably white. Okay?
And the thing that's amazing is, you know, you give this guy $30 million over 5 years, all right? And, you know, you've got people out there that want to take themselves, their buddy, and each of them has two kids, and they want to go to a game, and they're in this for $500.
In some times, more.
Yeah, okay, but I'm just saying, I heard the figure bandied about $500 for two guys and four kids, you know, to go to an NFL game. You know, you're in it for $500. Mm-hmm. This is not something people just throw on their card and, you know, whatever. This is something people scratch for. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, $500, I don't care who you are. You know, I mean, if you're a doctor, lawyer, accountant, you know, comptroller, or this and the other, you know, yeah, okay, you can just go. But a lot of the people in those stands, they can go to one game a year, and they scratch for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to turn around and, you know, give this guy – why is this guy who either throws a ball or carries a ball, you know, and gets, you know, knocked around a little bit, why is he worth $30 million when a guy in green clothes, you know, who can throw a grenade or carry his buddy back from, you know, being wounded
– I know.
Worth, you know, slightly above minimum wage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
You know, and then he comes home and he can't get a doctor. These guys got doctors waiting in the room.
No, they got doctors on the field with them.
Well, all right. Well,
they
have
doctors on the field. It's called concussion protocol. You know, they take a strange hit. All of a sudden, the doctor's there, and, you know, they're just looking at him and everything. I mean,
okay, I just figured they had him in one of the rooms of the stadium. Okay, fine.
They
got him on the field.
They are on the field with them. Oh, it's
and,
horrible.
You know, and this guy's worth $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've given my diatribe. Al touched on it recently, and he knows that it's my idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that, you know what? For every raise you get, you should take off one pad.
Yeah.
You know, that's to me, a good idea. No, you know, the end zone should be mined. You know, and the football should be handled very much like a tow missile. You take the football, it's got a ring with a wire attached to it, and the wire is of random length.
Oh my God. You're getting serious and, about you know, this, aren't you?
I'm serious. Well, that's the thing. For $30 million, this is a chance you got to take.
But that's, wait a minute. You know, wait a minute.
If you're, if you're a brand new guy just signed for $1 million, that's on. One thing. You go out there fully paid.
But you're making a point. You are making a point. How much do our fighting men? Wait a minute. Let's expound on this a bit. How much do our fighting men get paid? Okay, let's take a look. Very little, and yet they basically have to go through what you just said. Yeah. They have to deal with IEDs.
Yeah, what's it?
They have to deal.
They've got to worry about this concussion protocol.
Yeah.
What's it worth to go? What's it worth? You know, if you get out there and you're off for 6 games because you hurt your knee, or you come home missing a leg because you stepped on a mine.
But that's what she's. You actually now have a good point. I'm getting it now. If you're going to be making that much money, then maybe you should be going through what our fighting men and women are going through overseas right now.
So many people over the course of how long, you know, even when Gerald Ford played football or even before. You know, the days I actually know a name of a player only because it was my brother's favorite players. One of them was Garo Yupremian.
Oh, yeah, I remember Garo Yupremian. Oh, my God. Yes.
Now, the
what
only reason he liked the guy was because he liked – the only reason he liked the guy – I had no idea what position he played, but the only reason Tom liked the guy was because he liked the name.
Oh,
you know, Garo Yupremian and Y.A. Tittle. He used to love those guys just because he liked their names. We didn't watch football.
Tittle was a New York Giant.
Yeah, so, but that's, what is it from way back then? People have been saying, well, you know, football, George Carlin did a thing on football versus baseball being technological and pastoral.
Mm-hmm.
People have been saying, well, you know, football is essentially, you know, Coliseum gladiatorial combat. Baloney!
No, it's not.
Baloney! Oh, they hurt their knee. They're out for 6 games. You know, he hurt that shoulder again. That means he's out for the season. So he'll come back. He's going to get paid for the season. He's going to come back next season. He's going to get paid again. But,
that's right.
You know,
that's right. Logan,
this is silly. I mean, look, as far as I'm concerned, if you want a sport... If you want a sport to go and watch, and it really resembles gladiatorial combat,
mm-hmm.
Roller derby.
Oh yeah! Oh, there's a reason why they wear all that padding, and it's not for them if they fall. Yeah, yeah. No.
And if you really want to carry it out, what I would like, and I would actually buy tickets for.
Mm-hmm. What?
All right, I would actually become a fan and go and get tickets for a rollerball.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God, Lou.
You want to talk about it? Here. Yeah, you want to pay these guys millions of dollars? Mm-hmm. There's a sport you could pay these guys millions of dollars, and the ticket price would be worth it because you've got a shot at getting killed.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you.
Maimed, crippled.
That's right. And so why are they getting so much money and our fighting men and women aren't? That pisses me off. You make good point, Lou. Very good point.
And then turn around and to have that quarterback who will not be named.
Yeah.
And then all these guys, and I'm sorry, I the only team I know, I mean, I know the Giants, I know the Patriots. I don't know anything about any of the other teams. All I know is I want to know who decided that those outfits that the Dolphins wear was a good idea.
Oh, no, which ones are you talking about? Are you talking about the...
I'm talking about that turquoise, darling.
The one color?
Because... Well, the color combination, and then and then they got Flipper on their hat. You know, it's like, well, you know, what's up with this?
They're the Dolphins.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so let's go on here. Now, last night, Donald Trump had a dinner meeting with Pelosi and Schumer to talk about DACA. I'm hearing little drips and drabs here about it, and I'm not exactly too pleased. And one of the comments supposedly he made was that we have to protect these immigrants, and I just, these young people, and I'm like, oh, really? How about protecting our young people? So I agree with you, but I don't. He's getting a little wild. Now, wait a minute. Let me just bring something up. And Donald Trump, I know you're not listening, but if anybody is listening who actually has access to anybody there, 1986,
and they are.
Ronald Reagan, okay? Yep. He made an agreement with the Democrats. All right, you know what? I will give amnesty to these people that are here illegally. However, I want our border security to be tightened. I want, you know, more border people. I want everything. We adhere to the law. Don't allow these people in. The Dems said, yeah. Okay. He did. He signed the amnesty for the illegals. And the Dems said, what border security? I'm sorry. Did we really do that? And Ronald Reagan, many years later, even said, that is the one thing I regret that I did.
Because they never lived up to their end.
They never lived up to it. So President Trump, do not repeat what Ronald Reagan did in 1986. Do not trust these people. Do not.
I don't, and I don't believe he does either. I think he's working the art of the deal. And one of the things I remember candidate Trump saying when people were asking about, you know, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, et cetera, he said, I'm not going to put my, you know, strategy on the table.
True.
I'm not going to reveal to our enemies what I want to do. You know, I'm not the current administration. I'm not going to, you know, warn them in advance. I'm not going to show them, oh, we're going to come to this town on this date. No, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say, okay, well, we're going to bomb, or okay, we're going to howitzer, or okay, we're going to shoot, or whatever. He said, I'm not going to tell them that. And I have to give the president 110% credit on the fact that he actually signed the executive order and put the 6 months leeway in it, because he did. Everybody saying, oh, he's insensitive, oh, he's racist, oh, he's this, he's that. What people don't realize is it is 110% the way it should be.
Well,
the Obama executive order, Obama said it's temporary. Obama said, I can't do that. Three times that they've got him on videotapes. I can't do that. And then he did it.
He did it.
You know, same thing as all the recess appointments he made.
That's right.
You know, all these things, this belongs in him. The president does not make law.
That's right.
It's not his purview. It's not his remit to make law. Mm-hmm. It's the legislative branch. That's why they call it the legislative branch. They legislate.
Yes.
That they make law. Mm-hmm. It belongs on their desks.
That's right.
It is their remit. So to undo an essentially unconstitutional executive order that even the former president said was not lawful, I can do this, it's temporary, I can't do anything about the fact that it's temporary, I can't do anything about the fact that some judge is going to nullify it, I can't do anything about that. And then he signed it anyway, and the Democrats took it as if it was the 11th commandment.
Right, and the Republicans did nothing.
Did nothing.
Nothing.
They did nothing. What did they do? Nothing.
Nothing.
And now the president
acted. Still trying to get away with doing nothing. Still.
The president acted in a perfectly lawful, constitutional manner within his remit to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he could have signed that executive order and say, I'm giving you 6 minutes instead of 6 months.
That's true.
He could have signed that order and not said you got any time at all.
That's right.
Now, that would have been a problem. Mm-hmm. But he gave them the 6 months, and then he turned around. This part kind of got me a little off center. When he said, in 6 months, if they've done nothing, I'll have to revisit this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have given them that option. Now they're looking at this is like telling the enemy we're going to be in your town on this date.
Yeah, that's kicking the can down the road again.
Exactly. But then to have the meetings, you know, because look, McConnell's not behind this.
No.
Ryan's not behind this.
Well, you'd think maybe that he's having all these meetings with Dems and everything to basically shove it in the Republicans' face and say, hey, you're not going to work with me, but they are. At least I'm trying. At least they're trying. But then he's giving them a big present as far as the midterms are concerned, where they can say to their constituents, the Democrats, look, we're working with President Trump. The GOP
yes,
isn't.
Yes, that's a bone.
That is.
Well, the idea is, look, I heard Sebastian Gorka.
Uh-huh.
I guess it was yesterday, and I don't remember what show he was on, but the question was put to him, was this dinner meeting and the other meeting with Nancy and Chucky, was this a shot across the GOP's bow? And Dr. Gorka said, no, this was a torpedo smack amidships of the Republican Party.
Oh, okay. Well, good, because they're not doing anything. You have Ryan, who keeps dancing around. You have McConnell, who wanted Trump to stop saying drain the swamp.
And he can't, because he had excessive expectations.
Yes, it's just, excuse me? Pardon me? Yeah.
If you think the president...
Term limits.
This is the thing. Term limits. Yes, term limits.
Get these people out of there.
Term limits. I've been saying term limits since I was old enough to vote. Actually, probably before.
Term limits.
These people that are in there, you know, Byrd and what's his name? The other guy that was there for, 55 years or whatever. Actually, probably he died on the House floor, but then they took him outside, so nobody would say that. You know.
Well, you know what? You got McCain. He's been there for 30 years, for God's sake.
You know, and the only reason McConnell isn't dancing around the issue is because he's too old and can't dance anymore. So, you know, and I mean, you know, look, and he's
but they're
a
doing
guy.
Nothing, Lou. They're doing nothing.
It's
what
not they're doing nothing. They are doing
what
something.
What legislation have they brought forth? Can you tell
me? No. They are doing something. They're
like
obstructing.
Yeah, right. Okay. So in their minds, they're doing something.
You know, inaction is action of itself.
Well, for them it is. For us... It's laziness. It is obstruction, and knock it off.
And anybody that's listening, you tug at the shirt sleeve of or jacket sleeve, whatever, of Mitch McConnell, that's listening. You could tell him for me. I'm not going to speak for Amory, but you could tell him for me that if you think President Trump has excessive expectations, you should see mine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And I won't talk for anybody else, but I'd be willing to bet that I am talking for several other people. If you think the president's expectations are too high, you should see mine.
That's right. Yeah, McConnell. They're in that bubble, Lou.
Because
they really are.
I can over-expect much better than the president can, because he's mm-hmm. constrained by being president. I'm a civilian. I'm a citizen. Mm-hmm. Of the United States of America. You think his expectations are high? Oh, baby, you ain't heard nothing.
That's true, but a lot of people are like you, Lou. And that's why there's just so much anger online, too, because, I'm sure Donald Trump is trying to do a fine line, but, that fine line is annoying a lot of people. And a lot of people who've actually had to deal with Obamacare, seeing their veterans come home and not get what they need.
And I've seen
their
all.
Their patience is gone. So,
turn it around, you know, and say, did he give the Democrats a bone that they can take back to their constituency? And take some. Here's the thing. It's not so much that he threw them a bone. It's that he took wind out of the sails of the obstructionist Republicans. Mm-hmm. Because they just came back from vacation. And from what I gather, because I said I would love to have been at some of their town halls. Mm-hmm. From what I gather, some of those town halls did not go well.
Aha.
For the candidate. There was one candidate, and I don't remember, for the representatives and the senators. Mm-hmm. There was one senator that actually left a town hall. I don't remember which one. But turned around and left.
Really? Huh.
Couldn't handle the heat.
I do.
So we got out of the kitchen.
There's a representative in Arizona. Okay? He went and he had a town hall. And the people's anger wasn't directed at him. It was he heard. Now, he's a conservative, okay? He was elected there with the big Tea Party movement in 2010. And what happened was he went to his town hall meeting and he heard tons of stuff from his constituents about McCain and Flake. They are so angry at those two. And these two won't have town hall meetings.
Well, there's no. Well, first of all, McCain, you know, will not. I don't. Is his seat in jeopardy in 18?
I can't remember.
I have a list, but I don't have it in front of me.
I can't remember when he got reelected.
But McCain and Flake, Flake have absolutely no shot.
Yeah.
Absolutely no shot. He actually has a primary contender against them already.
Mm-hmm. Flake, yeah, Kelly Ward.
No. Yeah, no shot at all at reelection. None. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. And McCain will probably not, you know, run. But if he did, he's going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, get ready to write, you know, what happened there, Johnny, because you're not going to get it.
Yeah, what happened?
And you can blame the president, you can blame CNN, and you can blame anybody you want. It's not happening. And it's the same reason Hillary did. You're not there.
Hillary.
You're just not a candidate.
Hillary.
And I think we're going to, and we already know that Collins is not going to run for her seat. She wants to run for governor of the state of Maine. And the only way she's going to make it is run as an independent, because if she goes through a primary fight, she's going to lose right then and there.
Yeah, exactly.
If she runs as an independent, you know, a la Angus King, she may have a shot. John Baldacci wants a re-election, so, you know, in Maine. So she'd have to run as an independent, because up against Baldacci, she'd lose.
Yeah, exactly.
And she'd have to run as an independent, because against I don't know, go out in the yard, find a conservative chicken and run it against her, and she's not going to win the primary on that. So, you know, the people of Maine have had enough of her. So we see these things happening, and I'm sure that that was not the only congressman, you know, to have heard about these obstructionist Republicans. You know, whether it's McConnell, whether it's Mikulski, whether it's Collins, whether it's, you know, any of these people. I'm sure that's not the only congressman who heard that noise.
Mm-hmm.
And that noise is a rumble. That noise is a rumble. If people think 2016 was a thunderclap, the rumble against the obstructionist Republicans is rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And when it gets here, it's going to be every bit as loud as November 8th, 2016.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of hit on it just a bit, and we're kind of running a little late here, but I did want to get to this. Hillary is an author again for, what, the fourth time, I believe? Although she's not really an author. She just sat down and
yeah,
so
third
it's
or fourth.
It's called What Happened. But I can't believe she actually titled the book that. I mean, there's so much you can do with title to make it what happened, you know. But
no, there was a cartoon showing her reading the first excerpt of her book, mm-hmm. and it said, "What happened? Chapter one, I lost. The end."
She is blaming everybody, and then she blames women for not voting for her. And they're not going to give – she said she wasn't going to give American woman absolution. And it's like, who the hell do you think you are, Pope? It's just like, go away. And I'll tell you.
Well, Greg Jarrett from Fox read the book. I guess he got a prelim copy.
Oh, my God.
Read the book. And he put it out this morning on Fox News website.
Mm-hmm.
She named 43 reasons she lost. And none of them involved a mirror.
That's right. It's always somebody else's fault.
43, 500 pages, 43 different reasons she lost. And none of them involved, you know, I don't know.
Did she mention Bill?
actually having committed the crimes she committed, actually having covered up the crimes her husband committed, actually having covered up the crimes her staff committed, the Democratic National Committee committed, you know, her foundation, all these things. She blamed the media for covering it, but she didn't blame the fact that it was her doggone fault.
Do you believe that? I'm just like, I'm stunned. Yeah. I'm stunned. You know, and it's, what's amazing is that she's just continuing on with the crap.
How many people can you blame? And I'm sorry. How many people are actually people who may have been Hillary supporters that are buying this book because they idolized her? And when they read it, they're going to turn around and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, what?
Huh? I don't know.
What?
You know,
oh,
something...
God, that, you know. And, you know.
I don't
that
know.
That book could be a blessing for 2018.
Well, you do know that on Amazon and on Walmart, they already, even before it came out last week, they discounted it 40%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
To sell more books so it makes it to the top of the New York Times bestseller list.
Oh, I never thought of that. I never thought of that. Not that people are going to buy it. I mean, seriously, you probably will get probably the Clinton Foundation, who will buy 100,000 copies, right? Just to make the numbers look good.
Yeah.
And other Democrat supporters, they'll buy 10,000 here, 10,000 that. It'll be on the New York Times bestseller list. Yeah, no, you're
I'm
right
telling you,
point.
if you look at the New York Times review of books on Sunday, you know, today's what, Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday, pick it up, it'll be number one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It'll be number one on the bestseller.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's you know, face it. How do you sell more books? Drop the price so more people can buy it.
Yeah, not that I would ever buy it. What a jerk.
You know,
and
then Amazon can report 100,000 copies sold. Walmart can report 500,000 copies sold. And whoop, up it goes.
Do you really think that people are going to spend that much money anyway, even if it is discounted?
Well, you know, there's also the fact that it's ready for paperback already at $20.
Oh, is it?
And,
I didn't know
that. And the Kindle and stuff like that, I don't know what they get for them, but it's definitely not cover price, because I bought books and it was already, you know, like 60% off to buy a Kindle version.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy it with the expiration date, if you want it unlimited, you own it, then it's a little bit more. But if you want to just take it for, you know, there's 2-week version and a 1-month version, priced accordingly. Depending on where you go, whether you go to Amazon directly or you go to El Libris or you go to, you know, some of the other places to get them. You know, so, yeah, it'll be up there. It'll be up there no matter who wrote what and you know, came out this week. I mean, I know that Ebony Williams' book came out the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty Powerful, it's called. You know, what it's like to be pretty and powerful.
Uh-huh.
Something Hillary would know nothing about.
No.
You know what's really funny?
What?
You look at Wasserman Schultz,
oh, God.
Right? And years ago, you know, she was in Vogue.
Well, yes, they redid her. Yes, about 6 years ago, they redid her from head to toe, and she actually looked pretty.
And,
she did.
Yeah, and you know what? So did Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
When she was a younger woman.
Yes.
Before she got, you know, all involved on whatever it is that keeps her actually standing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was a good-looking girl. Mm-hmm. Hillary never was.
No. Did you hear Hillary's comments on the book 1984?
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is the way she interprets 1984. She says that it's in What Happened. She said, it suggests the goal of the government-sanctioned torture featured prominently in Orwell's novel is to erode trust in the authoritarian overlords who control all aspects of this society. And this is what says, it says their goal is to make you question logic and reason and to sow mistrust toward exactly the people we need to rely on, our leaders, the press, experts who seek to guide public policy based on evidence ourselves. What?
Yeah, a statist. It takes a village, baby.
Oh, man, this woman, I swear to God, is it time? Man, I, honest to God.
I don't remember who said it first, but they said it best.
What?
I use it all the time. People who follow me know I use it all the time. 1984 was never meant to be an instruction manual.
That's, well, in the progressives' eyes, especially Hillary Clinton, that's what she uses it as. I mean, this woman's insane. Absolutely insane.
And she went all on and on and on about Comey.
Oh.
And now this whole thing with their IT people through the DNC and that the fact that these people had access to pretty much every email from every congressman and every senator to and from anywhere and anybody.
But you know, all this brings
because
up-
they were actually in the congressional network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could go anywhere from there.
That's
you know,
right.
I'm saying any 18-year-old could hack anything if they had the door open.
That's right. Now the thing though, what this brings up another point, how these people got to be so powerful in our country when we have our Constitution that really is supposed to have safeguards against this. And part of the reason, I think, that you brought up is the Annenberg...
Yes. The Annenberg Constitution Day Survey.
There you go. Constitution Day
Survey,
Constitution yes.
Day, which, by the way, is in 3 days, September
mm-hmm.
17th.
Mm-hmm.
They did this survey in advance of Constitution Day.
Right.
Because people don't know when Constitution Day is.
Mm-hmm.
So they sampled 1,013 random adults. And out of it, people who can't or don't name the three branches of government.
I know.
Of course, we don't have to even blink to say, you know, judiciary, legislative, and executive.
Executive, yeah. And there, it was only 30, a quarter. Yeah.
37% cannot name any of them.
No, it was 26%.
26% could name all three. 26% could name all three.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yep. 13% could name two.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
27% could name one.
Jeez.
But 33% can't name any branch of government. And let's just take the one that comes up, you know, daily. You know, because we're talking about these sports figures, and we're talking about the entertainers, and we're talking about, you know, pundits and commentators, you know, including one that went, you know, toe-to-toe with Vice President Pence. No, with John Kelly,
mm-hmm.
Secretary Kelly, General Kelly, about, you know, a disgrace to his uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a Gold Star parent. He's well-decorated. Yeah. He was in the Marine Corps for 40 years, you know, mm-hmm. and a disgrace to the uniform because he... You know, it was the whole thing with DACA. Gutierrez was the congressman's name. And he said, well, he enjoys a lot of being able to do nothing and answer to nobody. You know, so, you know, along with many other congressmen and senators, you know, they don't do anything. And, you know, mm-hmm. don't talk to me about being a disgrace to my people.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that comes up over and over and over again, the First mm-hmm. Amendment.
Right.
No one... You know, I mean, there were a percentage who could name all five freedoms guaranteed by the First Amendment, rights guaranteed by the First Amendment. Out of that, 48% knew freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you can't swing a dead cat without somebody saying something about freedom of speech these
right.
days. Right? Only 15% could name freedom of religion. Only 14% could name freedom of the press. Only 10% could name peaceable assembly. And get this, only 3% could name the right to petition for redress of grievances.
And therein lies the problem.
Now,
people are not taught the Constitution.
I'm sorry.
They don't know what their, wait a minute, they don't know what their rights are. They don't know exactly how this country is run. And therefore, they vote in people like Hillary.
Because they vote with their gut. Or
like
their heart, or their,
yeah. feelings.
You know, whatever. Feelings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm sorry. I mean, right now, because my hair's a mess, I'm not too upset with it. But sometimes I wish we did video, because I would roll right back there. The bag I carry around with all my wallet and everything, because I can't wear a wallet. I would roll right back to my desk where it's hanging, and I would take it off. I would unzip it, and I would pull out my copy of the Constitution that I keep with me at all times.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm out of the house.
Right.
Because I've been in a position where people say, oh, you know, that's not a constitutional right. Yeah, it is.
Let me show you.
Yeah, how do you know? How do you know? Well, I've got a copy of the Constitution right here. Let's get through the checkout line, and I'll show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, oh, that's a right guaranteed by the Constitution. No, it's not.
No, it's not. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
What do you mean, no, it's not? Of course it is. No, it's not. Let's get through the checkout line, and I'll show you. I happen to have a copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights mm-hmm. right here in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually shuts them up, and they go away, and then they go and say, oh, I ran into this guy at the supermarket, and he's a big shot. He carries a copy. You know, I mean, they're free, or for a dollar or something,
right,
postage
right.
and handling. From a bunch of different Heritage Foundation, among others.
Sure.
You know, even if you don't put it in your pocketbook or your your pocket or your
you
jacket or whatever, at least have one.
Mm-hmm.
At least have a copy of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I won't even get into, you know, the Jeffersonian letters, the Federalist Papers, you know, the Patrick Henry. I won't even get into that stuff,
mm-hmm.
which I do have.
Right.
And, you know, people don't know. And this is like I said, you know, we talk about the Second Amendment quite a bit. We were talking about the Fourth Amendment and recently the 14th Amendment, you know, on some of our podcasts and in some of our essays. But like I said, you can't swing a dead cat without somebody preaching something about the First Amendment
mm-hmm.
in this day and age. And people don't know. What if people say it's a constitutional right? No. No, no, no. It's not. It's a God-given right. It's a constitutional guarantee to that right.
Mm-hmm.
Big difference. All right. A. B. If you don't know what's in it, how are you going to stand there and lecture me about it?
Mm-hmm. You brought up
whether you're a guy in a checkout line or whether you're Barbara Streisand, how are you going to, you know? So I brought up a point. Which point did I bring up this time?
When you were reviewing the First Amendment and the freedoms that are underneath there, and you said it's the right of the people peaceably to assemble, peaceably, right?
And that's the key word.
Keyword. And yet we have Antifa, who has now come out and said that, well, you know what? Violence is necessary.
Well, Antifa, they say it stands for anti-fascist.
A lot of people...
Let's look at that. A-N-T-I-F-A. It's mm-hmm. not anti-fascist. It's anti-First Amendment.
Yeah, that's what it actually is. Yeah, I agree with you. Even though they say that the use of violence, and this is a thing in the Hill. Folks, you know what I'm going to do? When I'm talking about these now, I'm trying to get my act together here, I'm going to put the sites from which I pull some of this stuff, so if anybody's interested, they can go and read the article themselves. But the activists are justifying their use of violence as self-defense against the inherent danger of fascist organizing. Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
Yeah. This from the brown shirts.
Yeah, that's what they are. They're the brown shirts. They're modern-day brown shirts. And they dress just like ISIS and the KKK, mm-hmm. except they're black. They have the same mindset as ISIS, as the brown shirts, as the mm-hmm. KKK. And they're supposed to be lauded, for their you have people out there.
They're nothing but a bunch of Bolshevik weenies. They're nothing but a bunch of Bolshevik weenies.
Yeah.
You know,
I say, and you said this many, many times, that if they're going to have this demonstration, there should be no masks. No face masks.
No masks.
No nothing. No bandanas. No nothing.
But, well, in reference to this, by the way, if you want to look up that, it's Annenberg Public Policy Center.
I will have that. I will have that on the site.
Anyway, Ben Shapiro
mm-hmm.
is going to be at Berkeley tonight.
Oh, God.
Doing what he does, going to college campuses, going to Young Americans for Freedom, you know, right. Kind of a thing. And he's going to be there tonight. Now, that mm-hmm. campus is the same one that when Ann Coulter was supposed to be there and when Milo Yiannopoulos was supposed to be there, they tore up public property, private property, hurt people, broke things. And, of course, they were the law enforcement, I cannot blame them. They were essentially told to stand down the way they were in Ferguson. Let them protest was the words used. And then in Charlottesville, I've already mentioned the fact that there was a rumor of a stand-down order because I cannot imagine law enforcement acting the way they did in Charlottesville. So as far as I'm concerned, that crazy guy in the Challenger didn't kill that woman. Whoever allowed it to happen killed mm-hmm. that woman.
I have to agree with you on that.
There should have been no way, shape, manner, or form that should have taken place if law enforcement was doing what law enforcement does, and they do it well each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're ordered, you know, here's the way you're going to do it. Here's the way this hand is going to be played.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine anybody wearing a badge, whether it's Ferguson, whether it's Charlottesville, whether it's Berkeley, because I've worn a badge. I can't imagine any of them going home from that going, damn, that was wrong. Damn, that was wrong.
Yeah.
That was just wrong. That happened. It shouldn't have been played that way. You know, the lieutenant, the captain, the major, the colonel, the chief, the deputy chief, the assistant deputy chief, they all knew this was wrong. They all had plans in place.
But, Lou,
but they were told stand down.
But don't you think that some of those, or maybe lieutenant, whatever, they agree with the mayor or the commissioner that they should stand down? You know what I mean? I'm just saying that there had to be allies.
Well, yeah, it could happen. It could mm-hmm. happen. It could happen because, as I used to say about the military,
mm-hmm.
every star on your shoulder makes you one less percent soldier and one more percent politician.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
You know, by the time you get four stars, you're not a general that's going to be out in the battlefield anymore. You're a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean any disrespect to any man walking around there with four stars on his shoulder, but what I'm saying is, you've risen through the ranks, you know what's going on, you've got a grip on the military, you've got a grip, but now you've also got a grip on politics. So every time somebody moves you up one star, you're a percentage less soldier and a percentage more politician. And I think that probably could happen in law enforcement. By the time you make sergeant, by the time you make watch commander, by the time you make lieutenant, by the time you make captain, by the time you make whatever's in between, then a deputy chief or, you know, and then chief. Yes, you become more of a politician.
That's right.
However, there are politicians out there, Joe Arpaio and Sheriff Clark,
mm-hmm.
you know, who stayed a police officer even in the face of adversity.
That's right.
I want to see what happens tonight because all the headlines say, oh, Berkeley, you know, unprecedented preparation in advance of you know, Ben Shapiro, you know, visiting, and they're going to have counselors available for students who feel.
Are they going to have puppies, too?
You know, but puppies, Play-Doh, you know, soft music, you know, or that whiny ass, you know, that whiny indie music, you know, playing. It's just, you know, all that kind of safe space, you know, kind of a thing. People walking around with baby diaper pins in their lapels.
Oh, man.
You know, which, by the way, when they get those pins, that's kind of like a social justice warrior service medal. You know what I mean? They wear them like general.
It's not saying much. Talk about the bar dropping.
People are upset. They're frightened. There was somebody on campus. Some kid threw a banana peel up in a tree.
I remember that, yeah. He was lazy.
Instead of
he didn't want to find, yeah.
He was lazy. He didn't know where a trash can was. He threw it up in a tree, and part of the complaints that came in were some of the students were frightened by
it. A banana peel?
They were upset.
I'm confused.
Students were frightened. Here's my thing. If you're frightened by a banana peel hanging in a tree, you need much more than a safe space, Sugar. Yeah, you know, listen, Sugar Plum, if that frightens you, you need professional help.
A lot of it.
You don't need a safe space and a puppy and Play-Doh. You need psychological help.
Yeah, no, they do. And I honestly think that as time goes on for these people, this generation, these people who need these safe spaces, and I hate to say this, but I think suicide rates among them as time goes on are going to be sky high. Because a lot of these people will not be able to handle the real world. I mean, you know,
well, there's a technical.
What do you mean?
There's a technical term for that.
What is it?
Darwin in action.
There you go. There you go. Natural selection. There you go. I agree with you on that. I agree with you.
Well, look at it this way, and I'm going to go off on a tangent here.
Uh-oh.
That may sound either very insensitive or very amusing, one or the other.
Okay.
All right. But when you look at these social justice, not the Antifa people, but the social justice warriors that are out there, you know, if they put their hair back to its natural color, learn to apply makeup, shave their legs and armpits, and stop being such a chooch.
Yeah.
They may get a guy.
Yeah. Maybe lose about 50 pounds, and too. Some of them are awful porkers.
And the guys, yeah, put down the Twinkie, you know, get on the elliptical and, you know.
What about the guys?
You got a
shot. Can I hit the guys?
The guys. You know, undo your hair, get it cut, trim that quote-unquote hipster beard down, you know, to an ordinary level, or God, shave. I don't care. I wear a beard.
I've been wearing a beard for God's sake.
Eat some meat. Eat some meat and some carbs. Put on regular jeans.
Do you know?
You know, put on a regular shirt. You know, put down your man purse. Pick up a wallet and stick it in your. I can't because of the wheelchair.
Right.
But stick a wallet in your pocket.
Well, you know what?
You know,
well,
if you need something, carry a briefcase.
Let me just say something. Comparing myself, and I have to do this. I'm short. Okay. I'm getting a little bit older. Oh my God! I can't believe I admitted that. However,
well, you're Italian. You know, I mean, you're going to say 4'11" if you're 5 foot. You curse. You know what I mean?
5 foot two and a half. But anyway, I use weights to work out. Right now, I'm on 9, and I'm going to be going up 10 pound weights. Okay, in each hand. A lot of these guys wouldn't probably be able to pick up these damn things. I mean, these people are as thin as rails, and there is no muscle on them. A man can have a muscle, you know, his muscles can be developed, and yet he can still be thin, you know? But they don't even have any muscles on them. They have nothing.
Well, I know that my personal limit with my right arm after the stroke.
If I threw one of those weights, wait a minute, if I threw one of my weights at them, forget it, they'd be hurt.
Yeah, my personal thing with my right arm because of the stroke, I can go a couple of 3 pounds. And I can lift it 4 or 5 times.
Okay, wait a
minute.
You know,
10 pounds, no way. It's just not happening.
Yeah, but Lou, remember what you used to be able to do, okay?
Oh, but with my left arm, even though I'm a cripple and I don't exercise much, with my left arm, I'll scare you. I scared a physical therapist, and Debbie loves this little anecdote. I went in after the stroke and I had to go through occupational therapy and stuff for disability. So I went in, and they give you this thing. It's a dynamometer that you grip, and it tells them the strength of your hand, and then they put another one, and it tells you the strength of your arm and, you know, things like that. And I don't remember what the reading was in my right hand and my right arm. It was wicked low, you know, because especially then I hadn't done anything after the stroke as far as therapy or exercise or anything like that.
Right.
Okay, fine. So then she puts the dynamometer in my left hand. She says, okay, now squeeze. So I squeezed it. And she went, oh. And I said, what? She said, that's incredibly strong. I thought she was going to swoon. I really did. You know, I was like, oh my God, I just impressed this woman, you know, and you know, and my left arm, and she, you know, and you know, put the dynamometer on, and she said, oh, again. And I'm like, now mind you, I hadn't done any PT or anything,
right.
You know, not physical therapy, but physical training, you know, PT.
Mm-hmm. Right.
in quite some time, and I did that, and she was like utterly impressed. You know, it's like, okay. So she says, I guess you do have some weakness in your right side.
Yeah, you think?
You know, she said, yeah, because your reading in your left side was like 23 times your
oh my gosh.
Right side.
Yeah, but you see how this goes? You know, I mean, you know,
but these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was a steel wire. I was never. I see these guys that are on, you know, cops are on these various shows, military shows, and I see these guys and they're ripped and buff and they've got 26 pack abs and, you know, rippling biceps and all this other stuff. And I'm like, I never looked like that. But if Ben Shapiro, getting back to him, if Ben Shapiro scares these people, I'm like, I'm crippled and I could take him.
Yeah, I know.
What are you afraid of?
I know. They're afraid because you know why? He is speaking a truth that they have been taught to deny. And they're afraid that they actually might agree with it. And, you know, if they do agree with some of what he says, that means that what they have been told all their lives is a lie. And they cannot deal with that. That's what a lot of this is about.
A couple of neurons next to each other might fire across a synapse, and it may spread through their mind.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
No, I don't. Like I said, I could take the guy. What are you afraid of? You know, what is it about this that frightens you? What, you know, you can't, you know, if... Well, you know what? Words must hurt. They talk about words hurt, right? They always say it. Words are violence.
But you know what? What were we told? What's that little rhyme that we always used to say when we were...
Sticks and stones, baby. Sticks
may
and
break
stones
our bones. May break our bones. Words will never hurt us.
You know, but yeah.
That's the difference, Lou. That is the difference. That's why you and I and members of our generation and some other generations have backbones. Because we were taught. We were taught that. The only thing that can really hurt us is something that, you know, sticks and stones. But words?
The blessed Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Used a term some time ago. Rugged individualism.
There you go.
They don't have that.
No. No.
They don't have that. And to go even further back, Spiro Agnew, nattering nabobs of negativism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk about our media. There they are, nattering nabobs of negativism.
That is
that. No one has rugged self-reliance.
Nope.
No one has the ability to, you know, they just don't get it. And they're being, we are reaping what we have sown.
Yes.
Okay, granted, I didn't sow it.
I didn't sow it either.
You know, at the time this stuff was being sown, the only seeds I had were being shot at me at high rate of speed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened was all those people that went 4F or whatever, you know, or whatever the college exemption was. I don't remember what it was, 4B or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they all ran off, and I'll tell you something: the enrollment rate at places like Montclair State and Newark State,
right,
which for people not from the Garden State are teaching colleges, state teaching colleges,
mm-hmm,
went through the roof. They had to hire extra professors and stuff because they just didn't have enough. And all these people went into education. Well, I'm in college; I can't serve. I'm in college. So yeah. they went to teaching school because what can you pass? You know, because those who can't teach, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, so they all went to teachers' college, and they all became teachers, and then they all became principals, and then they all became professors and associate professors and deans. And the rest of us that are struggling to get an appointment with a doctor at the VA,
mm-hmm,
while they complain and go on strike for more and more benefits, including medical, and stand squarely behind either single-payer or Obamacare, you know, and vote for Hillary and Sanders and proffer essentially dogma to our young and helpless,
mm-hmm,
this is reaping what we have sown.
Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately. But this is exactly what the Democrats, what the progressives, what the communists want. They want people who are weak. They want people who will follow them unquestioningly. They want people who they can control every single step of the way and in their
lives. Ignorance is strength.
God. Oh, boy. You know, I really think we've gone through a lot today. And I really think that we're going to have to start wrapping this up a bit.
Yep. Hey, in an hour and a half, we're doing good.
You betcha.
That 1 hour time limit is really starting to show.
We kind of went over that a bit, but, you know, what can I say?
Something? This was an important podcast. You know, this was. It was a very important podcast.
It was.
Some of it will be probably reiterated. I am essay bound with that Annenberg study. You know,
it's good. Definitely.
Look for that. Watch for that. Watch for our other essays. Amory put one up recently.
Yes.
We had a guest essay. Which was very good.
Yes, it was.
I haven't put one up in a couple of weeks, but I have one. This Annenberg study has me annoyed.
Yes.
To say the least. And so that's coming. And listen to us, at the site, politicalqrm.com. You can find us on Blueberry, iTunes. You can find us on, minds.com, Facebook, Twitter, either through Emery or myself. Mm-hmm. Gab AI. Once we go video, I'll put them on VidMe. Right. Daily Motion, Kodias. We're all over the place like fly.
No. Hey, where's my joke? He doesn't have a joke. I thought we
Because you know something. I got so wrapped up. Look. I know I promised. Okay.
What a joke. No, I'm just.
It's coming. It's coming.
It's coming. It's coming.
Farmer is on his tractor. And he's plowing along the edge of his field.
Mm-hmm.
And a car pulls up. And the guy gets out and says, "Hey, can you tell me which way is town?" And he says, "Well, you go that way a piece, and you go, you make a left at the third tree, and you make a right at the fourth tree, and, take that road and take you right into town." I can't go by that. Give me, street names and, all this other stuff. What kind of – and government says, "Well, you're a politician, aren't you?" And he said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I am." He said, "How did you know?" He says, "You're lost. You don't know where you are. You don't know where you're going. And suddenly it's my fault."
Okay.
All right, it's not a joke, actually. It's just a statement of our condition.
It is. It's more of a statement. I mean, and the reason why I just guffawed instead of laughed is because it's so true, unfortunately. It is so true.
The best jokes are based in truth.
They are based in truth. Folks, we're going to have to start wrapping this up. Thank you so much for joining us. I enjoyed it. Lou, did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy this?
I had a blast.
Was it good for you?
I got annoyed. Was it good for me? Yeah, it was great. I've got my e-cig here, so must have been
right.
Okay.
So listen. What?
Yes, listen, read, and for crying out loud, comment. If you're in a position to give us a like or on Minds a boost, do that, please. Some of you do. I know you do. And Kodias, give us a like and a boost.
Thank you for that. Definitely.
Thank you for that. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And all right, wrap it up before I make the phrase.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. We will be back hopefully next week, although I have to say it is fall, one of my favorite times of the year. So Lou and I are going to try and make sure we do this before the weekend comes because I got lots planned. I'm going to go out and enjoy beautiful New England fall. Listen, everybody, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Yes, please. People in Texas and Florida, I hope everything goes well with your cleanup. and I hope you get back to your normal lives as soon as you can. Mm-hmm. Also, I hope that President Trump will do the right thing for this country in keeping her safe and keeping our children safe and the American people who have worked so hard for this country. And
indeed.
Yes. Also, our the Thin Blue Line. Please pray for all
that. Thin Blue Line, Thin Red Line, yep. Thin Green Line.
Exactly.
Yep.
Everybody. So, you know, everybody, just stay safe and be aware.
Stay safe. And on that note, may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.